Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, the In Key Podcast, with James and guest.
And I'm the guest, Patrick Grief.
That's right. And today we're going to be talking about having fun with the image with you and music. Like, she's got the hat. She's got the tarp. We're going to talk about that. I love that. And then we're going to talk about putting out content, not going crazy with editing, just having fun with it. And of course, we're going to get a little bit more serious in music here about not trying to get stuck in one music genre. How do we get out of that? How do we study something else?
Let's get into it.
Patricia, I'm so glad you're on here. I always try to find people to bring on my podcast that I instantly feel like I want to have a connection with. I want to know more. And I think, first of all, the hat and that click, the hat in your image profile on Instagram stuck out, clicked on it. And then I see your profile and you got this sick guitar. Total, like, it's just having fun. And I instantly thought, like, I got to know more about this person. So that set me off. And then I got the vibe of your profile and everything like that. So I kind of got to ask, has that always been something that's been in your heart? Kind of like having fun with music and, you know, you take your music seriously. So don't let me say that, but because you play well and you practice well and you're going to college for music, university and the, you know, classical guitar and everything. But has that always been natural to you to kind of have this, I want to have fun with music. I want to have fun with my life and do the things that I do. I want to have that vibe. Is that just never been a second thought? That's just natural you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. That's super sweet. And second of all, yes. I mean, since that guitar that you saw, like the silver one, that was actually my first good electric guitar that I had. And I was just obsessed with having something that was like so personal. Like, I wanted to have a good guitar and I wanted to make it like super personal. And I decided I wanted it. I saw this. Have you seen this ESP, which is shaped like a sword?
No.
Do you know that one? That it's really cool. And I saw that. And then I became obsessed with luthier guitars. And I said, okay, I need this to be like mine. I want to create something that is like more personal to me. And actually, like, everything in that guitar before it came out as it is right now, I had like 1,000 versions on how to make it like more me. But me back in the day, I was like 16 years old, so I'm very glad that the luthier actually stepped up and said, okay, we're doing it this way instead of what you sent me. So but yeah, I've always liked to have fun in general, like in moving on stage. That's my thing. And I think when you are offering something like music, like live music, you are not offering only the sound, which is, of course, the main thing and should be the most important thing. But people come to see you and to have a connection with you, not only to watch you play and judge you as if they were, you know, judges for a competition or something. They come to see you, to feel a connection, to feel like they're part of everything that you are doing in that moment. And I think someone who doesn't bring that to them is missing a big opportunity to actually connect more than if they only keep playing and that's it. Of course, there will be parts that are going to be hard, that is going to be impossible to move here and there. But for the rest of the time, I think that should be, at least for me, it's a must.
Yeah, stage presence is huge. I mean, that's part of like that barrier between you and them, and that opens up that real next level connection. But the guitar, real quick. If someone came to you, oh, is it like a Strat or is it like a Les Paul? What do you say to them? What do you even say?
I actually got a lot of people asking me what's the brand of my guitar. And I used to be very offended by that because it's like, okay, this is like very much of an artistic reaction from all of here or whatever. you know, I was a teenager, I was stupid. But now it's just like, yeah, no, it's... Now I'm more worried about not sounding too cocky about having a custom-made guitar, and I'm just like, yeah, well, this guy from Spain, he's so good, he made it for me, he's great, blah, blah, blah. And I then don't shut up about it.
That's awesome, man. At all. So what I wanted to ask you then, too, is what about the hat? Where did that come into play? Have you just always had a hat laying around, or tell me about that?
No, actually, I hate having something on my head when I'm
playing. Me too.
I headbang a lot, and that's not possible if I have a hat on. But I grew into it. Well, a couple of years ago, I started forming part of this band called Pirate Queen, which has the pirate aesthetic and the pirate theme and everything pirate metal related. And my character is the captain of the boat, so I had to have a hat. And there's this Epic Armory, which is a brand that creates like leather props and roleplay props and so on, which is an endorser for the band. And they sent me the hat. And this picture that you saw on Instagram, which is my profile picture right now, it was taken on during November. We played at a festival in Germany that was so awesome. It was one of the festivals that I had the most fun playing there, and I really, really enjoyed that picture because I have a very similar picture from 9 or 10 years ago when I was playing also at a big place, and I have exactly the same pose, but now it's just like, okay, see how much I've grown with time and with huge effort and practice.
Nice. And so do you think like, oh, this is going to be like so awesome and a part of who I am? Or is it just simply like, oh, they needed a captain hat. I wore a captain hat. And that's just my picture.
I mean, right now, I really like the captain hat. Actually, it's usually on top of my microphone when I'm not using it. Because it has become a part of who I am and part of the person who is growing as a professional musician. So I started to really like having it. I almost never take it off when I'm on stage or even just hanging there at the festivals as well. So yeah, like that hat has become a big part of me, but I wouldn't say it's one of my main features. Actually, like I think the axe would be a characteristic.
Yeah, that was your choice. That was your thing. And now, being a captain, there was anything else other than the hat? I just got to ask. I'm sorry. I'm so into it. So I got to know, did you have custom boots or anything like that? Did they say it has to match, or it's just like, just look like a captain, dude?
Eventually I'm going to get the boots because, you know, we want the costumes to be a little bit better with time. But right now I have also like a very big, super cool leather coat that I wear also on stage.
Leather. That's hot. Oh,
yeah, extremely, extremely hot. And it's like very big. It gets to the knees and it's, you know, it's very hot. It doesn't matter that we're playing in Germany in November. It's on December.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's very, very, very hot.
Oh my goodness.
But it's all the loops. Eventually we will get better costumes, you know, like with more props and more
fans,
more pirate-esque.
Hopefully more fans like the to blow air, you know, so yeah. You're not like dying in the heat. All right. And so, okay, let's go back to social media, because that's kind of like how I found you too. How did you get into filming things and deciding like, hey, I'm just going for it? Like, what brought that up?
Actually, it was a very long time ago. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I wanted, actually shortly after getting my first axe, I really wanted to start recording videos for YouTube. And I had my small account and everything recording one shots, but just like very poorly recorded, like directly from the phone back in the day, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, old phones. Yeah, yeah.
From the phone to YouTube directly. But then I didn't have a lot of time in between and decided to stop doing that. Actually, not really deciding, I just simply stopped doing it. But I've always wanted to do that as something that I really enjoy, and I now really enjoy editing, even if I'm not super good at it. But it relaxes me as a very stressed person. It really relaxes me a lot. And Yeah, I wanted to grow on social media, had these ideas, and I really like to record videos and post something out there. It's just that I never found the good moment. Like, I don't look my best today, or I don't have a very cool background, and so on, as you said before. And simply didn't do it because of that. But at the end of the day, I don't think that matters as much as getting the stuff done. Like, I heard a friend some time ago say, and I kept that as a treasure, it's better done than perfect. And that has helped me a lot to just go for it. Like, eventually, you know, you never know what kind of thing can go viral. I remember when I posted one of my first TikToks, I was just doing headbang. I thought that was the silliest video in the whole world. And it got like 90K views, which is not like a super lot, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, it's a video of me headbang. What do you want? What is it? Yeah. So, yeah, you don't know what you can do to make it better. Maybe you spend like a bunch of hours making it perfect and then you get 3 views, or maybe you just record yourself and suddenly it has 1,000 of them. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Now you just said something I've got to go into again here. Like, somewhere up there with doing the dishes is where I feel with editing, and I hate doing the dishes. So like, if you had to sit down next to me and say, James, it's going to be okay, this is how you get set up and relaxed in it, what do you do? You have some tea next to you? Do you have like a ice drink? Do you have a comfy chair, or is it stiff and you have a time limit? Like, what? I've never heard somebody say like editing is calming for them, unless they're a professional editor, I guess. I don't know.
I am a very stressed person. Okay, everything that I do, I started fine arts some years ago, and I really like studying in general. I really like doing stuff. I cannot simply lay there and do nothing.
Right.
I am not a person to do nothing.
I agree.
Whenever I start a book, for example, I start reading a book, I have to finish it, like, right on the spot, because I like my stuff done and done fast and done good, usually.
That's why, if someone tells me a show, I'm like, wait, how many episodes? Because this could be a huge detriment to my life. I gotta figure it out now.
Exactly. So there are some things that I started, because you cannot give your 100% to every single thing that you do, and you have to decide which things deserve more percentage of you than others. And editing for me is just like, I'm not gonna be a professional editor. That takes a lot of studies that I don't want to do, a lot of practice, and a lot of things that I am not willing to give up my life for, because I could be practicing instead. So, but the videos need to be done, and I'm not rich to pay someone else to do them. So I just sit there and do my best. And not having any expectations on myself, as in any other thing that I do, because I'm always, maybe, okay, I'm not saying that I'm the best at everything, of course not, but every single thing that I do, I judge myself so much. Like, I could do better, I could do better, I could do better. Well, I'm not doing it better. But for this thing, it's something that I do for myself and something that is a pleasure for me, just like seeing the video later or posting and maybe getting something from it. Maybe a new contact, maybe a new friend, maybe, you know, maybe a couple hundred likes, which is also like very, very nice from time to time. So it's not something that I'm putting all my expectations on. I'm not expecting to become rich by that video.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
By any means. So I'm just doing that. I just do it, and then I enjoy the finished thing, because it's like when you are doing a painting, for example, or drawing, because you are seeing progress. In music, you have to hear yourself, so you need the time to stop and listen to yourself. And to listen to yourself from, 2 weeks ago and now to make a proper comparison. But with art, you're seeing it grow right on the spot.
That's true.
So maybe you have just like your chunk of video that is unedited, and then you see the edited version with the cuts and so on, and it looks better. It's, I'm not saying that it looks professional right away.
Right.
Nor if it will even get to that point ever, but just like seeing the cuts, seeing that simply that the playing on video is matching the recording.
Yeah, that's
for
nice.
Me was very pleasurable. That's very a very stupid thing to say, but I really find pleasure in seeing that it matches perfectly.
No, I completely understand that. Is there anything else that you do to make it enjoyable? Because I'll try to adjust my mindset. But I mean, do you have a, before you sit down, do you put on some music? Do you listen to anything or relax? Or is it just, here we go, turn on the fan, start to edit?
I just go for it. Maybe I grab a coffee or something to drink. But usually, as the stressed person I am, I drink the coffee in two sips and then I don't have anything anymore.
So the last thing we wanted to talk about, and it's going quick, I know, but I'm enjoying talking, and I don't think there's any reason, because I think you keep it simple, and I think that vibe is important. But something that's going to be tough to be simple is getting out of just being one genre-specific music. Not that you're in that. I just wanted to talk about this more because a lot of people feel that way, whether it's the way they play, the style they play, or even the music that they listen to, where they're like, well, why would I listen to something I don't enjoy? You know? So I don't know if that's the take that people have, but it's the action that I see a lot of people kind of fall into. Like, and once they start getting into performing, sometimes that can be a strength because they have an idea of like, okay, I'm so familiar with this music that I can get better at one thing quickly. But once you're at a proficient level of playing, how do you suggest to people to like, hey, jump around, enjoy things? Because it's, you know, someone might say, it's easy for you to say, your life is music. You know, you're studying music. It's all around. Of course. I mean, you got to try different things. But what advice would you have for people saying that, you know, well, why, how do I even get involved? I mean, now it's harder than ever to find new music that is good. You know, you can find new music by typing in a genre that, you know, this, but there's no human suggestion these days. There used to be a radio DJ. There used to be only so many, channels that you could turn into, and even the charts now, it seems like Beyonce's in country. Like it's weird. It's a weird time to be looking for music. So what is your perspective on that? How do you branch out as a musician, and how do you think someone could do it as a casual?
Well, I think back in the day, people like artists did just one style and that's it. And
yeah,
it was easy to relate to other similar artists. Now, I think people listen more to songs and singles rather than full albums, which is something that I think it's good because it kind of opens your mind to new styles and genres and artists. And at the same time, you are maybe missing a great track on an album just because it's not as popular as the others. For me personally, I think every single style could nourish your playing as a musician. Because, you know, you can get, I don't know, blues licks into your metal song, and it's going to make it sound fresh, and it's going to make it sound cool as long as you're enjoying it. Because music, at the end of the day, is just music. Like, it's the biggest thing that we have, or at least to me, it's the biggest thing that we have. But it's still a way to communicate. And the fact that you are not born in Italy and you don't speak Italian doesn't mean that your language couldn't be nourished by Italian. It's like when you meet someone from a foreign country and they say, oh, in this country, we don't say this, we say that. And I think that's beautiful. I think that works for music also a lot. Like in Spain, we don't say, I love you. We say, te traigo churros, which translates to, I brought you churros, which is the biggest act of love that you can do. Bringing food, for example. So that is something that later you can incorporate into your talking. Maybe it gets funny or it gets as a personal signature of yours whenever you're talking. And this is like a very silly example. But in music, I think if you are mixing styles, I think it's something that nowadays it's done quite more often. Like, for example, if you check Amaranthi, the band, they make like very techno elements into their metal. And I think that's really cool. And it's fresh. It sounds really, really awesome to me. The music's banger. And as for the players, I think that's the same thing. Like, you grow as a guitarist if you drink from many different styles, especially when you know how to apply those things that you learned into the context that you were playing. Like, for example, this guy, Brandon Dion, I really love his playing. He could play anything. And oh my God, it sounds great. Any style, it sounds great. You don't have to close your mind to new riffs or maybe slow types of licks just because you play metal. And the opposite also. Like, you don't have to stay with slow, simple lines if you are playing a simpler song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about this? I kind of like what you were saying about, you know, going deeper in the albums that you're listening to. So even just making sure you're not just listening to the playlist, because I realized growing up how important a voice became to me when I heard it more than one track. You know, like, oh, that guy's good, but I haven't got a chance to really listen to him all that much. You know, so if you're only listening to a new voice every single time, a new artist every single time, like you might like the general genre, but it's hard to fall in love with an artist and then really pick up on the small things they do and value that throughout an album, you know? So I don't even know that you would need to listen to a full album, but it sounds like, you know, at least two or three songs to really get an idea of whether that person might have more of a connection with you than you think. Or do you think it's a bit more like, well, if they're popular enough, then they get to be in that space where people will look deeper? Because that seems to be the setup right now. It's like, well, if they have a lot of numbers, then people are like, oh, I'm a fan. I like them so much, I'm going to look into their music. Or is it more that we should have, as a listener, a little bit more responsibility?
Well, I think as someone who used to dig into the entire discographies of people when I was starting to listen to music back in the day, I think you can miss a lot if you don't get really into an album. Because maybe if you get into a conceptual thing, and you don't really like the story, maybe you don't care that much about the story. But if you listen to the whole thing, you might pick into things. Like, for example, suddenly you hear a leitmotif that was played in the first track, and then you hear it again on the fourth track, and everything connects and makes sense. And those little things are probably going to make the whole experience more enjoyable, because you actually, yeah, you already shared, actually, you already heard that previously in the same album. It's not that you're repeating yourself as an artist, but rather than you're using your voice and your elements, your tools, to tell a story. And I think that's pretty cool. As a listener, you can do whatever you want. You want to listen to one song and that's it, that's fine. I mean, yeah, it's your way to listen to music. But probably you are missing on a lot of things that the artist has thoughtfully put in there, for himself to enjoy first, and then for the people who are going to listen to it also. So I think most people would find jewels if they really stay and listen to the whole thing. Or maybe they just decide that they don't like the artist. That's also fine. That's valid.
I think we'll have to agree to disagree. You're so positive. I'd say stories are important, and if you don't get a, you know, you don't give the storyteller a few chances to really grab you and take you for a ride, then I don't think that connection is going to get deeper than, oh, I like that song or I don't like that song. You know, it's got to.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's tough, because how do we do that as musicians? I think that's a problem that we can solve. But I think just you putting out your energy is going to get people open to the fact that, you know, maybe I can just listen to this today, and maybe I'll just listen to this whole album of this sort of thing, that they don't feel that there's a smartest way to listen to music, or that there's a best way. That's just, you know, relax, enjoy your life, enjoy music, listen to it at however you want. And I think that if it is done right, if that energy is put out there enough, will bring about people just having a better connection and more healthy music environments. So I think that just your vibe is very important, and I hope more people look you up.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, I agree with you with the storytelling. I think, of course, if you're telling a story in an album, I mean, there's just not a random reason why you're doing that. You are doing that because of something, and the music is probably going to make sense with the lyrics, and it makes sense for the listener to listen to the whole thing as you intended to create it. But I think that is something that the listener really has to decide on their own. You can force them to listen to your music and to listen to the whole world building that you might be doing for your album. And I think it's hard nowadays because people, I think back in the day, you just sit down and listen. That's what I used to do when I was a teenager. I sit down and listen to the whole album. Maybe I was doing something like very light in between. But I think music now sounds, it's more like an original soundtrack to your life rather than something that you actively listen to, or at least that's how I perceive how people do it these days. Even myself, I play music. Like, I want to listen to this album, but I'm going to play it while I'm in the car, for example. So I am not sitting there actively listening to something and maybe, wake up like 1 hour and a half later, 1 hour later. I think the world right now is working like very fast. Everything goes super fast that we don't actually have the time to sit down and appreciate the things that we create. We spend more time creating stuff than actually people consuming those things that we create.
It's going to be something that we might have to do a whole another podcast on because that's deep.
Yeah.
So this is the moment where I like to hand the microphone off to my guest, give them a chance to promote something. Patricia, what are you promoting here and now?
Thanks, James. Nice hair. Well, I would like to promote my personal business as a session guitarist. I would love to be your next session guitar player, either live or session work.
Nice. And how do we find that? Where do we go to hire you?
And the best way to find me is on Instagram at Patrick Griff.
Excellent. Okay, we'll go there and we'll check out your plan. Well, that's all the time that we have. I enjoyed talking to you, Patricia. I enjoyed having you on the podcast. How did you feel being on the podcast?
Yeah, that was awesome. Life-changing, to be honest.
Fantastic.
We should form a religion or something.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I don't have time for that, but I might have time for another guest another 2 weeks or so, or whenever I can get this next thing edited. Check her out on Instagram, hire her for your projects, and maybe I'll see you with another guest in 2 weeks from now. But for now, bye!
Bye!
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker, the quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com, that's Mood.com, to get started.